The Lord be with you. Our opening hymn, hymn 326, Christ is made the sure foundation.
Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Please be seated, everybody. Ever three and ever one, we've been singing on this Trinity Sunday. about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I'm delighted to be here for a service of confirmation at which 10 people will be confirmed tonight, and they have been well prepared, and they are prepared to stand up before us and before God to say that they want to live life with God rather than without Him. This story in your life began a long time ago, when you were most likely, I think, for all of you, when you were born, you were brought to church and your parents wanted to give thanks for your life. The gift of new life. They'd never seen such a remarkable creature as you before. And they said, Lord, bless this child. They said, Lord, we want this child to grow in the best way possible, to know you, to love you, to serve you. And they prayed that, but they also made promises that they would bring you up to help with that. Then a strange thing happened. Water was poured on your head, and you were baptized. You may have been taken aback by that, because you could have even been sleeping at the time. But that was a significant moment, as the Lord's love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, and blessing was poured into your life so that you could respond to Him as you grew. And here we are, all these years later, and you now want to publicly respond to Him. The promises that your parents and godparents made those years ago, you will make tonight for yourselves. We're here to cheer you on, to pray for you, to say we're proud of you, and to wish you well. Many, many of us have been confirmed and baptized, and we would say to you, this is the best way to live. With faith in Christ as Lord and Savior. And so for Hayden and Alex, for Alana, Gemma, and Catherine, for Emily, James, and Lee, and Richard, and Andrew, we pray for all of you. And we will do in the service, specifically for you, that God will guide and lead and direct you as you seek to live for Him and with Him. Let us affirm first, all of us, our trust in God's mercy, and let us confess that we need forgiveness. Let us pray. Lord God, you created the world and made us in your own image. Forgive us when we turn away from you. Lord, have mercy. Lord, God, through your Son, you overcame evil and death. Rescue us from slavery to sin. Christ, have mercy. Lord God, by your Spirit, you restore us to fellowship with you and with one another. Breathe your love and freedom into our lives. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you your sins, and keep you in eternal life. Amen.
We sing together the hymn version of the Canticle Gloria in Excelsis, hymn 693.
Thank you.
standing, we pray the two collects, one for Trinity Sunday and one for Confirmation. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us, your servants, grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity, and in the power of the divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith, that we may evermore be defended from all adversities, for you live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, by water and the Holy Spirit, you give your faithful people new life. Guide and strengthen us by that same Spirit, that we who are born again may serve you in faith and love, and grow into the full stature of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the first reading, which Richard will come and read for us. And as he does, I just want to explain what the background to this is. The children of Israel are wandering in the wilderness, and they are hungry. They are frustrated, and they feel neglected. And they wake up one morning and find that there's snow or something has happened during the night. It's not snow, but it looks like it. It's white, and it's edible. It's manna. They thought it was dew first. And Moses gives them instructions from God about how to gather this and have enough, and also how not to gather it so that they have too much. Richard.
A reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, beginning at verse 14. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take a number for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the number, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is keeping any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept a small part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gradual hymn is 299, "Holy Spirit, Come Confirm Us."
Thank you.
Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. John, chapter 6, beginning at the first verse.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Some time after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in the place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May now the words of my mouth and the thinking in all our hearts be guided by and acceptable to you, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please sit down, everybody. I understand that after the service there's to be some refreshments in the hall. Is this true? This is good. We look forward to that, but it's not that I don't have great confidence in the hospitality of this parish. I've discovered that it's excellent, but just in case, I brought a packed lunch with me. The reason I brought the packed lunch is actually because the rector has just been reading to us about a packed lunch. That's what that story was all about. Imagine it this way. We don't know the boy's name in this story, but I'm going to call him Johnny. Johnny was at breakfast that day, perhaps this may have been how it happened, and his mother said to him, "Johnny, I don't know what you're going to get up to today. You always get up to something. But I think in case you're hungry, it would be good if you took a packed lunch." Now, Johnny was always hungry, so he said to his mother, "Yes, I would like that." So she went and burrowed around the cupboards and found 5 pieces of bread, small pieces, it says, and 2 fish. I kept the fish in the tin as a gesture of kindness towards you. But they are sardines. So off he went with his packed lunch and set about the adventures of the day. And what an adventure it turned out that he had. Were you listening to the story? Remarkable. I imagine at the end of the day, he got home and his mother said to him, "Well, Johnny, did you eat your packed lunch?" And how would he have told the story of what happened? He would have said, "Yes, I did eat my packed lunch, Mum, thank you. I had plenty." But so too did hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other people eat my packed lunch. And they had plenty. And his mother said, "What?" And he said, "I do not know what happened, but I gave it to one of the disciples, who gave it to Jesus, and he started breaking it and breaking it and handing it out and breaking it again and breaking it and handing it out, and people seemed to just have enough. What intrigues me about this packed lunch is, why did Johnny give it all away? Growing boys don't easily give all their lunch away. I speak from experience. One day I was that boy. And so I'm intrigued to know, why did he do it? Why did he hand all 5 pieces of bread and all 2 of the fish to Jesus? We don't know, but I think we can guess. My guess is that Johnny had been, after school or whenever it was, wandering around and he'd seen Jesus before. He'd seen him operate, and he was fascinated by him. He'd seen him some days lay hands on sick people, and they got better. He'd seen him say some very wise things about how to live, and he was struck by the wisdom of this man. He'd seen him have some disputes and arguments with the religious people and win those arguments. Johnny was intrigued by Jesus. And so when he was asked to hand over his lunch, I think he didn't even have to think about it, because he thought, wow, what's going to happen here? I want to see this. And he handed his lunch over, all of it, to Jesus. What effect, then, do you think this had on Johnny? I would be so bold as to say that I think that day could have changed Johnny's life. However intrigued he was before about Jesus, he was now convinced. And he became a fully devoted follower of Jesus that day. He learned that he couldn't only trust Jesus with his lunch, but he could trust him with his life. The technical way to put it is that he made Jesus Lord, master of his life. To submit to Christ as Lord is a big thing to do. But tonight, you 10, I'm going to ask you some questions, and among them are questions: do you turn to Christ as Savior? And you say, I turn to Christ. And then I ask, do you submit to Christ as Lord? And you will say, I submit to Christ. Now that is a big deal. It means trusting him with your life. Trusting him as you make decisions. Living his way rather than just to please yourself. Involving him in your choices. Making him Lord. What Johnny discovered that day, and throughout the rest of his life, I think, is that when you make Jesus Lord and when you serve him, you become free. Some of us older people remember in the prayer book the collect, which says, or the prayer which says, we serve a God whom to serve is perfect freedom. And that is a remarkable thing. We discover that by serving Jesus as Lord and doing life his way, we become free. The world tells us it's the other way around. The world says if you make yourself the boss and do what pleases you, then you'll be free. But we discover that's not the way it works. that when we selfishly put ourselves first and do what we want, we end up the very opposite of free. We end up with regrets, with mistakes, and with a feeling of dissatisfaction. What Johnny teaches me today about this making Jesus Lord is that it's very practical. It can affect your lunch. It can affect the things you buy, the things you own, the things you share, the stuff in your life. Now, we may feel we don't have much stuff, but actually in this part of the world, most of us do, compared with the rest of the world. We have a phone. We have clothes. We may have a bike. We have stuff in our room. We have books. We have trainers. Money. Some. We have stuff. And making Jesus Lord affects our attitude to our stuff. In the reading that Richard read from the Old Testament, we learn an interesting lesson about how you treat stuff. Remember what happened? God provided for the people who were hungry, and it was endless, it was abundant, it was all over the ground. And he said, go and pick it up, what you need for today. Don't bother about tomorrow, leave that for tomorrow, just take enough for today. Most of them did that, but some tried to cheat. And they stuffed it up their jumper, and they filled their pockets with it, and they got extra. And they said, I'm going to have more than everyone else for tomorrow. But during the night, did you hear what happened? It developed maggots, and it began to smell. The point being this. God wants us to have enough stuff, but he doesn't want us to hoard it selfishly, because then it goes bad, or we go bad, and it smells a bit. Making Jesus Lord affects the practical things of our life. That's the point, and that's what Johnny discovered and gave us an example of it. One of the most practical things I have discovered in my life, and one of the most difficult things about making Jesus Lord, affects this. This just came out of my back pocket. There's a few credit cards in here, and there's a few notes in here, euro and sterling. And to make Jesus Lord of this is very difficult. Jesus warned us himself. He said, you cannot serve God and this. He called this mammon. You have to choose between them. And if you serve God, then you deal differently with this. Making Jesus Lord of my wallet is a lifelong project for me. Because we all worry and fear we don't have enough. If only we had a bit more, a bit like the manna. If I could stuff a bit more under my jumper, then I'd be happier. But making Jesus Lord makes us realize that the opposite is actually the truth. The way to make Jesus Lord of this is to give it away rather than to hoard it yourself. The strange thing we discover from what Jesus tells us is that we think we own what's in here, but very easily it can own us. It has a grip on our heart. And the only way to break that grip, it seems, from what Jesus tells us, is to release it and to give it away. And that loosens the grip. Holding tightly to our possessions, holding selfishly to our money, things go wrong and go bad and it goes sour, whereas the opposite of releasing it and giving away more than we think we could afford actually brings blessing to us as well as to those we give it to. Generous and sacrificial giving releases something in our hearts. This year, in Derry and Raphoe, in October, as you probably know and have heard, we're doing something called Abundant Living, Cheerful Giving. And it's all about the fact that God wants us to have an abundant life. He said, I have come that you may have life in all its fullness. And that abundance, part of it, is about cheerfully releasing to Him what He's given us. When we were planning it, the clergy said to me, make sure we involve children and young people in this, that it's not only for adults. They were very strong about that. And I said, okay, that's what we will do. And in my confirmation sermons, I'm referring to these things because they do involve our age group, your age group too. Let me explain something about my youth. When I was in school, I went to Middleton College, County Cork, for secondary school. And I have this book to prove it, because it says on the front cover, Middleton College, County Cork. And then it says at the top, October 1970. That's when I left school in June 1970 and went to Trinity College, Dublin, to be a student. And I took this little notebook with me. It's now an antique. Could be on the Antiques Roadshow one day. And I used it because inside this book I kept a record of all of my financial dealings as a student. I put at the start the amount of money my parents gave me at the start of term, which if I told you, you'd be shocked at how little it was to survive on. I was shocked at the time. But anyway, I wrote down how much every day I spent. On the 27th of October, lunch was 2 shillings and 10 pence. This is old money now we're talking here. On the 3rd of November, lunch was 6 old pence. What is that now? About 2p or something? The rector's too young to understand this language. And so things went on, buses, books. And then on Sundays, I wrote what I put in the collection in church. Because I had been confirmed then, and I had a pretty fair idea that I had to be responsible in my giving to God. I felt then, and Mary and I feel now, that giving 10% of what we receive is a good, kind of a good proportion. And so the way this booklet worked was, and the way our finances now work, is that we try to give 10% of whatever we receive to the Lord. We try to save 10%, and we try to live on 80% of whatever we receive. That may seem like an ambitious target, and it often is, but the value in budgeting like this, I think, for young people particularly, is an important skill to learn. Because the way the world operates now is you get 100% of your income and you live on 110%. That doesn't work, by the way. I know enough about maths to know that that doesn't work. And so, what I'm saying to young people and to all of us is we need to make Jesus Lord of our wallet, or our purse, and work out with Him what we should be doing with our decisions and spending and buying and giving and releasing. So when you stand up in a little minute or two and say, I submit to Christ as Lord, you're setting out on an adventure with your wallet, among other things. You're setting out with an adventure on everything. Your career, your relationships,
your holidays, involving God in all of these decisions and making them before Him in ways that honor Him is what Jesus is Lord is all about. So, I wish you well in this, and I speak from experience that it is an adventure worth going on. For all of us, as before God, we give an account. One day we will give an account, but we give an account now of what He's given us, how He wants us to treat it, and how we honor Him. So, Jesus is Savior, Jesus is Lord. May He bless you in all of these things. Amen. Now, if we have a leaflet, it's on, we're turning page 4, and on the screen, I'm not sure. Oh no, we're not on the screen yet. The presentation near the top of page 4 refers to you being presented for confirmation. Remember I said a little while ago you were presented for baptism by parents and godparents? And I would like them to have a role tonight, maybe. Would the 10 of you please stand where you are? 10 to be confirmed. And because you look as impressive as you do, I wonder if you would mind turning around and facing the congregation. Would the parents and godparents who were at the baptism of these people please stand wherever you are, or their sponsors? And I have a question to ask of the parents and godparents, and the answer is we do. Who presents these persons for confirmation? Thank you, parents and godparents. You may be seated. Candidates, turn and face me, please. Now, you've got the idea. All those years ago, those were the people who presented you for baptism and who made promises about you. Tonight, they have presented you for confirmation, but they are not going to make promises about you. You are going to make them yourselves. And so, I have two questions to ask you candidates all together. First, on page 4. Have you been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? You have been. And are you ready with your own mouth and from your own heart to affirm your faith in Jesus Christ? You are ready. Rector. Have these persons been carefully prepared in their understanding of the Christian faith?
I believe they have.
And may I thank you and any others who assisted you in their preparation, and others, whether in youth groups or Sunday schools or wherever it was, that they have been prepared and trained for the time given to that. In baptism, God calls us from darkness to His marvelous light. To follow Christ means dying to sin and rising to new life with Him. Therefore, candidates, I ask you the very same questions that your parents answered all those years ago at your baptism. But now you answer for yourselves. Bottom of page 4. Do you reject the devil and all proud rebellion against God? Do you renounce the deceit and corruption of evil? Do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbor? Do you turn to Christ as Savior? Do you submit to Christ as Lord? Do you come to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life? Parents and godparents, family, friends, all you have heard, these are brothers and sisters, respond to Christ. Will you support them in this calling?
We will support them.
This next question I ask of you individually, one by one. Do you, Hayden, believe and accept the Christian faith into which you are baptized? Do you, Alex, believe and accept the Christian faith into which you are baptized? Do you, Alana, believe and accept the Christian faith into which you are baptized? Do you, Gemma, believe and accept the Christian faith into which you are baptized? Do you, Catherine, believe and accept the Christian faith into which you are baptized? Do you, Emily, believe and accept the Christian faith into which you are baptized? Do you, James, believe and accept the Christian faith into which you are baptized? Do you, Lee, believe and accept the Christian faith into which you are baptized? Do you, Richard, believe and accept the Christian faith into which you are baptized? And do you, Andrew, believe and accept the Christian faith into which you are baptized? Well done, each of you. Would everyone please stand with the candidates? Brothers and sisters, I ask you to profess, together with these candidates, the faith of the Church. Do you believe and trust in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe and trust in God the Son?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again.
He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We're going to kneel or sit together as we sing in a prayerful mode the hymn, O Thou Who Camest From Above, hymn 639. Let us pray.
responses are for all of us. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Blessed be the name of the Lord, now and forever. Amen. In some moments of quietness, we pray for each of the candidates, the names of whom are on the back cover of our order of service, asking that God will give them courage to trust Him, to be open to His guidance and leading in their decisions and choices, as they acknowledge Him as Savior and as Lord. Almighty and ever-living God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, was crucified and rose again to break the power of sin and death, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of your Holy Spirit, by whom your servants have been born again and made your children. Grant that in the power of the same Holy Spirit, they may continue to grow in the knowledge and likeness of Christ. Increase in them your gracious gifts, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of right judgment and inward strength, the spirit of knowledge and godly living, and fill them, O Lord, with the spirit of reverence for you. Amen. I invite now the candidates to come forward, please, and kneel at the rails, and as I pray for them, I pray that all of us will pray for them too, and ask God to be their guide and strength. Confirm Hayden, O Lord, with your heavenly grace, that he may continue to be yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more, until he comes to your eternal kingdom. Amen.
Alex.
Confirm Alex, O Lord, with your heavenly grace, that he may continue to be yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more, until he comes to your eternal kingdom. Amen.
Alana.
Confirm Alana, O Lord, with your heavenly grace, that she may continue to be yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more, until she comes to your eternal kingdom. Amen. Confirm Gemma, O Lord, with your heavenly grace, that she may continue to be yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more, until she comes to your eternal kingdom. Amen.
Catherine.
Confirm Catherine, O Lord, with your heavenly grace, that she may continue to be yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more, until she comes to your eternal kingdom. Amen. Thank you. Confirm Emily, O Lord, with your heavenly grace, that she may continue to be yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more, until she comes to your eternal kingdom. Amen.
James.
Confirm James, O Lord, with your heavenly grace, that he may continue to be yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more, until he comes to your eternal kingdom. Amen. Confirm Lee, O Lord, with your heavenly grace, that he may continue to be yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more, until he comes to your eternal kingdom. Amen. Confirm Richard, O Lord, with your heavenly grace, that he may continue to be yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more, until he comes to your eternal kingdom. Amen.
Andrew.
Confirm Andrew, O Lord, with your heavenly grace, that he may continue to be yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more, until he comes to your eternal kingdom. Amen. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we pray for your servants upon whom we have now laid our hands after the example of the apostles, to assure them by this sign of your favor towards them. May your fatherly hand ever be over them. Let your Holy Spirit ever be with them. Lead them to know and obey your word, and keep them in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well done, each of you, and congratulations. The questions that follow now in the commission are not just for the 10 of you, therefore all of us, because you're now part of a much bigger team in this parish, in this diocese, and in this world. And these questions are about the future. Are you willing to worship God regularly, to receive communion, to hear his teaching, and to pray with his people? And you say, yes, that's what I want to do. Are you willing to live in ways that honor him and please him, and when you fail, which we all do from time to time, that you come back to him and say, sorry, Lord, forgive me. Yes, that's the way I want to live. I will ask, are you willing to go out into the world as good news people, living and speaking in ways that honor Jesus? Yes, that's what I want to do. And I'll ask, are you willing to go out into the world, and where you mix and mingle with people, will you love them even if you don't like them? And you say, yes, that's what I want to do. So would everyone please stand, and if you're able to respond to these questions, I invite you to do so. Those who are baptized are called to worship and serve God. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread, and in the prayers? With the help of God, I will. Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? With the help of God, I will. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? With the help of God, I will. Will you seek and serve Christ in all people, loving your neighbor as yourself? With the help of God, I will. God has made us one in Christ. He has set his seal upon us, and as a pledge of what is to come, has given the Spirit to dwell in our hearts. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
We greet our neighbor by shaking their hand and say, peace be with you. Do you have Bibles to give? Okay.
It is tradition in Christchurch that during the peace the central aisle becomes like a rugby scrum, so please do so, as is our normal fashion, as we share the peace, not just with the people beside us but with those around us as well. So feel free to do so at this moment. All very subdued this evening are. We bring God our offerings and our tithes as we sing together hymn 581. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry.
Thank you.
celebrate at the Lord's table. The order of service is on page 8. Be present, Lord Jesus, our risen High Priest. Make yourself known in the breaking of bread. Amen. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise, because by water and the Holy Spirit, you have made us a holy people in Jesus Christ our Lord, raised to new life in him, and renewed in us the image of your glory. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The congregation may be seated or kneel. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image, male and female you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death, we celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great High Priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep.
Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. Let us pray. God of mercy, by whose grace alone we are accepted and equipped for your service, stir up in us the gifts of your Holy Spirit and make us worthy of our calling, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love and joy and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen, and settle you in the faith. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you. Always. Amen.
Thank you, Alana and Emily. Just before our concluding hymn, to say again that everybody is invited to join us in the parish hall for refreshments. It would be good if you could do so. The candidates, if they could remain just in the church, that would be great, because we have some photographs and little gifts that we want to give you before you go home. And also thank you to Bishop Ken for being with us tonight and leading this service of confirmation with Holy Communion. Our recessional hymn is hymn number 634, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.